The pandemic has dealt to the amazing race, sadly for all concerned. But Phil is not idle. He has a big new show to show us, and he's its creator, executive producer and host. It's called Tough as Nails. It's just started screening in the US, and it's coming to Prime here this Wednesday night. Tough as Nails celebrates everyday men and women who get their hands dirty working long, hard hours and vital jobs. So you think welders, firefighters, farmers, builders. And New Zealand is the country that inspired this celebration of working people. Phil Cogan, good morning. Nice of you to join us.
Great to be on your show. Thanks for having me. I'm waiting to hear whether we're going to be on another lockdown here, and I don't know how much longer we can take it. We need. Could you call Jacinda and ask her if she could come over here and sort this thing out for us? Yeah,
I could, although she'd probably take a call from you, Phil.
I don't know. Maybe it's too big a problem over here. I don't know.
Tough as Nails is your baby, isn't it? You created, produced, you host. And it is in part a homage to your own family, I think.
Yes, it is. And I'm producing it with my wife and producing partner, Louise, who I worked with in television for many, many years. We've been collaborating on a lot of different projects together, including this one. And yes, it really is a tribute. I mean, if there's one person, it's my grandfather, Jack Cogan, who was a mechanic in Westport for many, many years, an aero mechanic in World War II, a gunsmith and an inventor, and somebody that I spent a tremendous amount of time with in my school holidays, high school holidays. You know, I learned more from him about the practical world and working with tools and gained an appreciation for skilled men and women who work with their hands, the number one set of tools, than I did from anybody. And this is also about my ancestors who came to New Zealand as coal miners and gold miners and farmers. My uncle Jim, who's 72, who was a New Zealand arm wrestling champion at one point and could fix anything. So yes, it's about people who are connected to the physical world and acknowledging them as being essential and being a very important part of our society.
I knew there were lots of those kind of people in your family background. There's someone on your show saying there's nothing like earning clean money, which I thought was an interesting quote. Now, Jack used to tell you West Coast coal mining stories, like miners racing each other to be the first to shovel a ton of coal, that kind of anecdote.
Yes, absolutely. So my grandfather's father was actually a gold miner, and then I believe his father was a coal miner, but we have coal miners in the family. And yes, absolutely. He would tell me stories about competitions that would happen at the workplace. And my dad, who grew up in Westport with my mom, my other grandfather's a carpenter. He's the joinery that was just over the Buller Bridge. He set that up. Yeah, there were always these stories about people on the job site, and we know it happens, you know. If you look at, shearing gangs where it's like who can shear the most number of sheep in a day, there's always this rivalry and a competition that happens at job sites. And my dad, leaving high school before he went off to study at Lincoln, worked at in a sawmill, and he would tell me stories about what would go on there, about who was renowned for being the toughest, the hardest working. And the people that we have on our show, they talk about, we've got a guy called Drywall Danny. Well, his name isn't Drywall Danny. He's a drywaller, and he's called Danny.
Right.
He talks about being a third-generation drywaller and trying to beat his dad's record of putting in sheetrock, I guess we call it in New Zealand, putting in something like 75 sheets in one day by himself. So, yes, the idea with this show is less about obstacle courses and running over, like you see on some competition shows where they build challenges for competition. We wanted to take people, the best of the best in their chosen trade, and take them into the real world, into real job sites, and have them compete on a farm, have them compete in the railway, and see how they fare at doing real jobs that real people do in real life.
I'll get back to the specifics of that, actually. But you've talked about the toughness. You've talked about challenge. Can I ask you briefly about adversity? Because you broke into television here at a young age, but then you went to the US, and I imagine you needed a lot of drive and determination to make it big in that huge television industry in the United States. So is there a part of your own kind of background in wanting this show to succeed too?
Well, I do believe that from adversity comes strength. I've had a few challenges in my life, and I've certainly gone after them. And coming from New Zealand and then going into the biggest television market in the world was a bit of an eye-opener. I mean, you know, the fact that I was so naive in a way helped me, because New Zealanders do have that wonderful attitude of, oh, yeah, I'll just give it a go. But if I'd known just how difficult it was going to be, I don't know if I would have been as resilient. I kind of went into it and didn't realize what I'd bitten off. And I am determined, and I am, you know, I am focused at getting things done. I mean, this project, Tough as Nails, has taken over 10 years to develop and to sell. It was going to happen, then it wasn't going to happen, then it got close, and it wasn't going to happen. And, you know, more than 10 years, and a lot of people just said, dude, just give up on it. It's, you know, work on something else. It's not going to sell. But I just had this belief in it. And in all the things I've done in my career, it's the thing I've worked on the longest to try to get to sell. And there's no guarantee, by the way, that it's going to be a success. But I do feel it's a success having got it on the air. We were the number one show when we launched on July the 8th here in the United States, which was very satisfying to see. Again, I can't speak to whether it's going to be anywhere near as successful as a show like Amazing Race that I've been involved with or other projects I've done. You've got to basically line up planets to get a television show developed, picked up on the air, and then, you know, then you hope that planets align and there's a few shooting stars when you look at the ratings. So I do believe that New Zealanders are going to warm to this show, just because it speaks to me more to the New Zealand psyche and culture than it does even here, even though we're getting a great response. But I think New Zealanders in general are just more closely connected to having sheds in the backyard and fixing things and making things work. And we all know these types of people. I hope that there's actually, you know, we'll end up doing a New Zealand version of this show with New Zealand contestants.
Yes, and there'll be plenty of them. In terms of the planets aligning, of course, I mean, that's about timing. You would think you've got the timing right from the outside looking into this, because you would think the timing for a show like this couldn't be better right now, because we appreciate the people who make the wheels of society turn in a way we haven't for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. And for a long time, there's been a real stigma attached to essential workers, or what people might call blue collar workers, because my grandparents' generation, you know, they didn't get a chance to go to high school. My dad got a scholarship to go to St. Bede's in Christchurch, but his dad wanted him to go to work at 13. And he was a very bright young man, and he just never got a chance. But to me, he's one of the brightest people that I ever had the chance of spending time with. Just the way his brain worked, he was very well read. He loved reading, he loved music. He was like a Renaissance man, and he had a thirst for knowledge, just as Leonardo da Vinci never had a formal education, but probably one of the most influential human beings to ever walk on the planet, because he was just super curious. So I think with this, I'm trying to say that education comes in different forms, and that we shouldn't look down on anybody who maybe hasn't got a degree from a university, but understands that being smart, being intelligent, or being knowledgeable, having wisdom, being educated is not just something you get from a building. It's not something that you just get from a tertiary education. It's all valuable. It's all important. You want a dentist who knows what the hell they're doing and doesn't pull out a hand drill and start a, you know, just try to have a go at your teeth. You want someone who's gone to school and done that. Conversely, you also want somebody who knows what the hell they're doing when they come to your house and put a new roof on, right? Yeah. So It's all about just life skills and being a contributor to society. And when everything went to hell in a handbasket here, only a few weeks after we'd shot this series, all of a sudden those people, those essential workers, we realized, oh my God, these are the very people that make the world work. Like, without them, the toilets don't flush, the lights don't go on, the roads aren't smooth, things stop functioning. And we need them. And so, yes, the timing from that point of view couldn't be better.
Yes, well put. And in terms of your being number one on debut, I wonder if it's also that you're giving these vital occupations pride. Anyone who takes part in them, who is a builder, a carpenter, a plumber, a drain layer, whatever, a drywaller, they will look at the show and feel that it's their show, presumably.
Yes, you've hit the nail on the head. I think in New Zealand we have more of an appreciation and a pride in our farmers and people who work on the land and build our fences and the shearing gangs. I think we have a closer connection and an appreciation for those people, particularly, like, I guess some people might argue that in Auckland, some city slickers might not have that same appreciation of the South Islanders and people who are in the high country farms and so on. But no, I think New Zealanders do appreciate those people who make things work, the men and women who are working with their hands every day. The quote that you were talking about is dirty hands, clean money. They're people that have dirty hands but make clean money. I think we have a real pride in those people more so than, you know, than I feel here. But I think that's also just because this country is a little older, and so people have steered away from seeing the value of a lot of trade jobs. We have a deficit of like something like 3 million trade jobs deficit here in the United States. And there is a stigma attached to somebody who maybe is a blue collar worker, who's a construction worker, who does get their hands dirty. And I'm just trying to help say, no, hold on a second. It's not just all about having that degree. It's also about having these other people who are prepared to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and or earlier and go and milk the cows and make sure you got milk on your table in the morning.
We're talking with Phil Cogan about his new TV series, Tough as Nails. Speaking of hold on a second, your competitors aren't the usual television fare either, both male and female. You've got an interesting array of people from different walks of life and different ages. And I think age discrimination is something you don't like either.
That's exactly right. If you ask me who the toughest person that I've ever met is, I would say my mother. She's 78 years old. She's not stronger than my dad. She's not faster and doesn't have more, you know, stamina if they were to go in a race, in a running race. But I tell you what, my mom will never quit. She would fall over before she gave up on anything. She's so mentally tough. And my dad, you know, he played for Lincoln First 15 and Canterbury Colts, and he's a big, strong guy. For his 78th birthday, he did over 400 push-ups. And this is a tough man. He's a physically tough man. But I wanted to look at what toughness is, redefining what toughness is. It's a combination of strength, endurance, agility, life skills, and then most importantly, mental toughness. If you play for the Crusaders, if you go in the MMA and you fight, you are inherently, yes, you are inherently tough. But we have a welder who gets up at 4 o'clock every day, drives an hour and a half to work, works all day as a welder, goes to a second job, stops off at the grocery store at about 8 o'clock at night, picks up groceries, goes home, cooks dinner for her kids, freezes the dinner for the next night, goes to bed about 10, 10:30, gets up at 4 the next morning and does it all over again. That's also tough. And we have people like that in New Zealand. And so I just wanted to say that it doesn't matter what age you are, it doesn't matter what it is that you do. The measurement of tough isn't just about playing for the All Blacks or fighting in the MMA. It's also about the people who are doing hard yards every single day, year in, year out, sticking with it, never giving up, enduring all kinds of weather up in the high country when they go to bring the sheep down to safety. You know, you don't see that resilience. It's not on a sports field. It's not broadcast, you know, at Eden Park and, you know, beamed around the world. But there are these people who are doing hard yards up, way up in the mountains and all over the country, underground and climbing up poles in the middle of storms and making things work. That's also tough.
So you've got them shoveling coal, building walls, swinging axes and picks. You've got them doing all sorts of things. Coming up with the obstacles to make them look realistic rather than something thoroughly constructed like a Ninja Warrior show, that must have been a challenge.
Well, a lot of the ideas I got from my family. The fence building came from my dad. My dad, I helped him build some fences when I was young. And then the farm challenges, putting irrigation together, that was something that I'd also done with my dad when I was young. But there's a really cool episode that we have at a pick-a-pat, which is kind of like a big junkyard where all these cars are. And if you need a pat for your car, you go and they tell you that the Toyota Corollas are on the third aisle in the 20th row. And you'll find the Toyota Corollas and you go down there and you take a bag of tools and you pull out whatever you need from the car and then you go back and they charge you for it. So we took him to a pick-a-pat and we literally just had him like get an alternator out of the sea of Taz. We just said, go find an alternator. So the challenges a lot of times are very simple in their form, but really interesting. We had them cut up a car and they had to use, we gave them tools and we told them they had to cut it up and put it in a box. So these are things that people do every day. Sometimes they're simple things and other times they're a little more complicated, but the idea is that we go to real job sites and we have them do real jobs.
Yeah. And presumably the theory is they come straight from their ordinary lives. They don't come straight from 6 months of hard work and steroids in the gym. You're just seeking people who come from the job, as it were.
Yeah, so we actually, you know, we don't allow anybody to be drugged up. They've got to be drug-free. But they're just hardened from their everyday lives. But, you know, to your point about ageism, that's something that drives me nuts is, you know, how we sometimes will disqualify someone just because of their certain age. Well, if you look at somebody like Lee Marshall, he's 6'3" or 6'4". He would have been a hell of a good rugby player, actually. He's put about 10,000 roofs on in his life. He's got hands the size of dinner plates. He's got the most amazing attitude and determination. He said a lot of guys will come along, you know, they're half his age, and he'll outwork them. A lot of them won't even last a week. And he's lifting, literally lifting thousands of pounds of roof shingles up onto the roof every single day. That's what he does. He's 62 years old. I would hate to have met him when he was 25, I tell you that. And he comes on and he will outwork people, not because he's necessarily stronger, but because of his mental fortitude and because he has the ability to pace himself. He has the ability to use his life skills. He knows how to work smarter, not harder. And those are things that we want to celebrate. The other part of it is also was we wanted a playing field where men and women can compete together on the same playing field. So there's a lot of power to weight ratio. You know that expression where you say you got to pull your own weight. Well, that's kind of what we do on this show too, is we say you've got to shovel three times your body weight in coal, you know, or the job pertains to your size. If you're a big 140-kilogram guy, then expect that you're going to have to pull more weight because you're a bigger guy than someone who may, you know, maybe weighs 50 kilograms.
Phil Cogan, his new show, Tough as Nails. And just as we've observed, Phil, that the timing seems ideal in the world, I suppose you look at The Amazing Race, which is now over for you, and you would think actually the timing ran out for that, looking at how locked up the world is now.
Yeah, so we're just on hold. We started shooting a series and then we came back, and so we're going to be picking up with that when the world allows it. I don't know, right? We're looking at a possible lockdown here in LA again. It's driving me crazy, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I bet it is, actually, because you always want to be on the go. Speaking,
I've never been in one place this long in my entire life, and it's a very weird feeling.
Speaking of traveling, when will we see you back in New Zealand? Because I'm assuming it's been a while since you've been able to nip down here for a holiday.
Yeah, I was down at Christmas, and it's very frustrating to know that I can't just get on a plane and come home. As soon as I can, I will be on a plane and I will be coming home.
I'm glad the numbers are good for you with CBS in the United States. Congratulations on the show. Very good of you to talk to us, Phil.
Oh, yeah, nice of you to talk to me. And I'm looking forward to New Zealand to seeing it. And, you know, one day maybe we can hopefully have our own New Zealand version of Tough as Nails. And I know it would be a hard-fought contest, that one.
It would be. I can just imagine that. Very good. All the best for it, and we'll talk again.
You got it. Thanks so much. I really appreciate your time.
Phil Cogan.